نستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. After we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and send peace and blessing on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we greet all the Muslims with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you all for this series of classes for explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram. Bulugh al-Maram, the book which is written by Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. The attainment of the objective. And today, which is Tuesday, the 8th of Safar for the year 1419, which is equivalent to the 2nd of June 1998, and today inshallah is our 15th class, and today inshallah we'll be dealing with a new book, which is the book of the prayer, and we have a new chapter, which is the time of salah. And for those brothers and sisters who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, the book of attainment of the objective, we kindly can open page number 61, which is say the book of the prayer. The book of prayer, page 61. Babu Al-Mawaqit, chapter 1, the time for Salah, prayer. And the hadith is hadith number 129. Hadith number 129, page number 61. An Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وقت الظهر إذا زالت الشمس وكان ظل الرجل كطوله ما لم يحضر العصر ووقت العصر ما لم تصفر الشمس ووقت صلاة المغرب ما لم يغب الشفق ووقت صلاة العشاء إلى نصف الليل الأوسط ووقت صلاة الصبح من طلوع الفجر ما لم تطلع الشمس. حديث ديما كثير إن شاء الله سيكون في ريزن الحديث فرص. إن شاء الله before we go in details or explanation for the hadith, we hear the hadith first in English. Go ahead.
David is Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the time of the moon prayer is when the sun passes from the meridian and a man's shadow is of the same length as his height. It lasts until the time of Asr, after noon prayer. The time of the Asr prayer is as long as the sun has not become yellow during its setting. The time of the Maghrib sunset prayer is as long as the twilight has not disappeared. The time of the Isha night prayer is up to midnight. And the time of the Fajr morning prayer is from the appearance of dawn as long as the sun has not risen. But when the sun rises, abstain from Salah, for it rises between horns of the Shaitan, reported by Muslim.
JazakAllah khair. We're dealing with the Mawqit of Salah, the chapter concerning the time prayer and when a person is supposed to make his Salah. And as we understand that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't have this advanced technology of having computers and watches and things like this. So the only thing they use to determine the time for prayer is by observing the sun, rising, sunset, sun in the middle of the sky, the appearance of the different colors of the light in the sky or in the horizon, and all the things used to be in need and ways for them to determine the time for the prayer. This hadith which we're dealing with, hadith Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhumah, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَقْتُ الظُّهْرِ إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ. First, we understand as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in his book, فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us in the Quran to establish the prayer and said, therefore establish prayer. Indeed, the prayer are fixed time for the believer. So, it's not supposed for the Muslim to make the Salah before the time ends. Otherwise, this is a condition for the existence of the Salah, that the time of the Salah is in. So the person has to know that the time is in and to be sure that the time is in before he performs the prayer. So we've been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform the prayer, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as a condition for us that we perform the prayer according to certain time. And the hadith here of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to explain to us when we're supposed to make the prayer. And this also, a small hint here, that we can see the necessity of having the hadith with the Quran. Because as we explained before many times, that the hadith comes to explain and give more details about the Quran. In addition to, sometimes the hadith will give some ruling that is not in the Quran. As example, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbid the gold and silk for the men. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the Ummah that these two type of materials are forbidden for the male member of his Ummah, law for the female members of his Ummah. So for the male members of this Ummah, the men, they are being forbidden by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wear gold in any form, regardless if this gold is a ring or is earrings or necklaces or bracelets or whatever it is. And also the silk, this material, to wear it as a shirt or to wear it as a thobe, this has been forbidden. this is the two type of material is lawful for the female. But we don't see any ruling in the Quran concerning gold or silk that is forbidden for men. So we understand that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rules the same way like the Quran. So the same way we take ruling and order from the Quran, we take ruling and order from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, the hadith comes as explanation for the Quran, and we can see in this hadith that we have today that is explanation to this verse that I just recited. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Okay, establish the prayer, and be the prayer is fixed time for the believers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith telling us about وقت الظهر إذا زالت الشمس. Okay, the time for ظهر, and زالت means مالت, means to be tilt or to move to the side. Okay, وسط السماء, that mean if the sun became in the middle of the sky or the horizon, and now this is waqt al-zawal. This is the time when the sun is in the middle. So when the sun starts move little bit towards the west, now we call the this zalat, that means malat, it tilted or moved little bit. Okay, so when the sun moves from the middle of the sky towards the other direction, because we understand that the sun rises from the east and sets in the west. So when the sun rises in the morning, comes like this from the east and keep moving until it comes in the middle of the sky. Okay? Now, this is the time, what you call it, as Jawal. So, as soon as the sky, as the sun starts to move a little bit toward the west, now this is the Zawal. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay? And you can recognize this by taking stick as example in the ground. You will notice that the shadow, okay, the shadow as example, if I take this pencil and I stick it in the ground like this, you will see the sun coming this way. So you see the shadow of the stick in the other direction of the stick. And after this, the sun is going to keep moving until it comes in the middle of the sky. Will be almost no shadow to this stick, okay? Or a little tiny shadow immediately under the stick. And the shadow doesn't increase after this from this direction. So when the sun starts to move to the other direction, the shadow will be reflecting in the opposite direction, okay? And now, when you start to see the shadow from the other side, now this is the time, the beginning time for Salat al-Zuhr. And this time is going to continue to be Salat al-Zuhr until the shadow, the size of the shadow on the ground, will be equal to the same size of this stick that is taken down in the ground. Let's assume you take a ruler, and the ruler is what, 12 inches? You stick it down in the ground, so maybe 2 inches went down to make it standing. So how many on top of the ground now? 10 inches, okay? So in the beginning you found the shadow comes and keep moving until almost no shadow. Alright? So now the shadow starts to move to the other side. So when it starts to see the shadow from the other side of this ruler, this will be the beginning of Salat al-Zuhr. And this time will be Salat al-Zuhr until what? Until you have an equal size of this shadow. And this will be the ending of Salat al-Zuhr and will be the beginning of Salat al-Asr. Okay? That if you take this stick out and you lay it down on the ground, okay, will be equal to the same shadow just on the ground. So I have my ruler like this. And now I see the shadow. Both are marked on the ground. take the stick out and lay it down and see the same size. Now, if this shadow is equal to this, so this is the end of Salat al-Zuhr. Okay? So Salat al-Zuhr starts from the time that the sun moves from the middle of the sky and will remain to be the time for Zuhr until the shadow of everything will be equal to what he has. Okay? This will be the time for Salat al-Zuhr ending and will be the start for Salat al-Asr. وَكَانَ ظِلُّ الرَّجُلِ فَطُولِهِ. Okay? And a man's shadow is of the same length of his height. And this will be the ending of Salat al-Zuhr and with the beginning of Salat al-Asr. وَوَقْتُ الْعَصْرِ مَا لَمْ تَصْفَرَّ الشَّمْسِ. And the time ending of Salat al-Asr, as long as the sun is not yellowish color. Okay, you can see the sun when it's about to start setting, start to change color from bright, shining, white, start to become yellowish, and after this color will go to disappear. Alright? So this is the time for Asr. And you may know this also by other way, by measuring the shadow of the stick from one side to two sides. Okay? Now the end, one side of the shadow will be what? The ending of Salat al-Zuhr. Now if two if it's two lengths of your stick, this is almost the ending of Salat al-Asr. And we notice here it say, مَا لَمْ تَصْفَرَّ الشَّمْسِ. As long as the sun is not yellowish, this will be Salat al-Asr. But in actuality, the time for Asr will be extended until what? Until the sun sets. But this is the time, the preferably time that is supposed to make Salat al-Asr. You shouldn't wait until the sun became yellowish and the sun is about to set down. وَوَقْتُ صَلَاتِ الْمَغْرِبِ مَا لَمْ يَغِبِ الشَّفَقِ. And the time for the Maghrib from some set. Okay? When the sun disappears, you could not see it anymore in the horizon. This is the beginning of Salat al-Maghrib and remaining until the reddish light in the sky will disappear. Okay? This is the time for Maghrib extended until the ending of a yellowish color, reddish color in the sky. When the reddish color disappears, this will be the beginning of Salat al-Isha. And وقت صلاة العشاء will remain until the middle of the night. ووقت صلاة الصبح من طلوع الفجر ما لم تطلع الشمس. And the time for the morning prayer will be from dawn, from the bright color that you see in the sky until the sun rises. And if the sun risen, that means the time is over for the morning prayer. Is it clear to anybody? Somebody? Nobody? How many bodies? Nobody? Okay. Understood? Alright. So this is the way, if you don't have a watch, or this is the way how they usually determine the time for the prayer. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this tool that we can recognize the time for the prayer. But it is very important for us also to know, you never know if you always going to have your watch with you or no. If you are in some place, you don't know what is going on. So this will be also a way to assist you to let you know how to determine the time for the prayer, because you could not perform the prayer before it described time. وله من حديث بريدة في العصر والشمس بيضاء نقية بيضاء نقية ومن حديث أبي موسى والشمس مرتفعة. This is explaining the same thing, okay, talking about صلاة العصر, that the صلاة العصر will be was a sun, okay, this page number 62, say another version of the above hadith regarding Salat al-Asr, afternoon prayer, when the sun is white and clear, okay? And the other one came with another narration, which by Abu Musa, was Shams Murtafa, while the sun is high. And both of them telling you about the best time to perform Salat al-Asr. Otherwise, that you know, as example, now it's 7:30, okay? The sun didn't set yet. But when you look to the color of the sky now, the color of the sun now, it's not white like if you look to it at 5 or 6 o'clock, okay? So this hadith is not showing the ending of the time for Salat al-Asr, but this is not the time that you should. So it's makruh, it's disliked that you delay the prayer until this time comes. But let's assume that somebody intentionally delayed the prayer, or they have a job, or whatever it is, or they tired and they decide to go to sleep, they wake up at 7:30 and perform their prayer, the salah is still acceptable, because the ending of the salat al-asr will be what? The sun set, which is going to be explained in another hadith coming, inshallah. Hadith number 130, وعن أبي برزة الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي العصر ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله في أقصى المدينة والشمس حية، وكان يستحب أن يؤخر من العشاء، وكان يكره النوم قبلها والحديث بعدها، وكان ينتقل من صلاة الغداء حتى يعرف الرجل جليسه، وكان يقرأ بالستين إلى الماء. حبيب
نبي أبو برزة الأسلامي one of us would return to his house at the pilgrimage of Al-Madinah and arrive while the sun was still hot and bright. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved to delay the Isha prayer, and he disliked sleeping before it and conversation after it. After the Fajr prayer, he used to leave when a man could recognize the one sitting beside him, and he used to recite between 60 and 100 verses of the Quran in the Fajr prayer. Agreed upon.
This hadith, which is reported by Abu Barzah al-Aslami, may Allah be pleased with him, he's telling us about the action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to make Salat al-Asr. And after this, that one of us will return back to his house. Okay? And the sun is still alive. The sun is still clear in the best form that you can see it. That means Hayya, alive. Or while the sun was still hot. The sun is not, all the verses of the Quran are the same length. So if it is verses which is long, you used to recite about 60 verses. And if it's verses which is short verses, you will recite 100 verses. So, from this hadith, we see something very important here. The concern of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of performing the prayer as soon as it comes. This is one thing, okay? Also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked people involved in conversation after Salat al-Isha. Alright? Because this will delay their time of sleep and this will become a problem for people to be able to get up for the Hajj or even getting up for the obligatory prayer before sunrise. Okay? And this is one of the main balwa or the main serious calamities that have been facing a lot of Muslims nowadays, especially with this corruption of the TV and the digital box, that they be watching different programs and things like this, staying late, playing Nintendo and Sega or whatever you call it, and after this they go to sleep like 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and after this they don't get up for Salat al-Fajr, okay? And this is a very serious matter. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned about Iman, who slept until sunrise, and he said, ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذْنِي. That a person who doesn't get up, making salah before sunrise, making the morning prayer before sunrise, the Prophet ﷺ said, the shaitan had used this man's ear is as a tonic. Okay? And as a result of the shaitan urinated in his ear that he slept until sunrise. But we have to go to see the serious problem. The cause of it is what? That the people, they don't go to sleep early. Okay? Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to dislike sleeping before Salat al-Isha. And also, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to delay Salat al-Isha. Okay? Because this is preferably getting making Salat al-Isha late. But not late to such a degree that he make it so late. And he dislikes the sleeping before Isha because the person may go to sleep and doesn't get up for the Salah, or he may even delay it. But in other version we see وَعِنْدَهُمَا, that means the both narrator or the collectors of the hadith, which is Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, من حديث جابر والعشاء أحيانا يقدمها وأحيانا يؤخرها إذا رآهم اجتمعوا عجل وإذا رآهم أطفأوا أخر والصبح كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصليها بغلط. This version which reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, okay, which is also in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to advance the Isha prayer sometimes and delay it at other times, and this accordingly. He would be concerned about the attendance of the believer. He didn't have a fixed time, and the discipline and the respect of the believer, he used to sit and wait for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not say, okay, 5 minutes, and if he late, understand this is, okay, we make the iqamah. You go and sit, and you wait for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he show up, this way the salah will be established for the iqamah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be the person who concerned about the sahaba. So if he sees them, they already there, they gathered for the prayer, he will go and lead the prayer without delaying it. He used to love to delay it, okay? But when he sees the people already there, most of them, he will go ahead and leave the salah. And if he sees that most of them didn't show up yet, he will sit and wait and delay it. Okay? And this is also shows us the responsibility of the Imam of the community to be concerned about the members of his community and their needs, and what is more suitable and comfortable with them, as long as he doesn't break any Islamic law. Whenever he saw the people assembled for the Isha prayer, he would pray early, and if the people delay, he would delay the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to offer the Fajr prayer when it was still dark. okay? Does not mean dark before dawn comes, no. What does it mean? It's still dark, and as we explained in the hadith before this, وَكَانَ يَنْفَتِلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْغَدَىٰ حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسَهُ. Okay? And we have Salat al-Ghada, or Salat al-Subh, or Salat al-Fajr. All this is the same name for the first prayer. Salat al-Fajr. Hadith number 130, he said Salat al-Ghada. Okay? Salat al-Ghada. This is one name. And hadith number 130 also, but it's the other version, which is the one we're talking about it. رَآهُمْ أَبْتَوَ أَخَرْ وَالصُّبْحِ كَانَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is, call it a subh, morning prayer. Okay? And in another one we see that the name of Al-Fajr. So all these same names for the same prayer. So when he say here that he made the Fajr prayer when it was still dark, does not mean that he made it before the dawn. Okay? And we see from the other hadith, it's saying that he used to finish the Salah while one of us will be able to recognize his neighbor, the one who's sitting beside him in the Salah. That means they started the Salah, and the Prophet ﷺ recited 60 verses, so by the time it finished, that you can see some light, you can recognize the person who's sitting beside you. And it can be explained more in the narration which in Sahih Muslim, which reported by Abu Musa, فأقام الفجر. Okay? This is the third name for the Salah. فأقام الفجر حين انشق الفجر. He offered the Fajr prayer at the daybreak, when the people could hardly recognize one another. Okay? So when you see the hadith say dark, does not mean he made it before. Okay? Because, as I said, the time for prayer is a condition for the Salah to be acceptable. You could not pray the prayer before its time. Hadith 131, this hadith which is by Rafi ibn Khudayj radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal kunna nusalli al-maghriba ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fayansarifu ahaduna wa innahu la yubsiru mawaqi' nibli or nibli. This hadith also in collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Rafi, may Allah be pleased with him, narrating to us about the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as the Sahaba, that they used to dissemble or leave the prayer, the Maghrib prayer, the fourth prayer of the day, okay, and one of us used to go out of the mosque and be able to see the spot of his arrows, okay, would fall at. That means like when like you take a rock as example and you throw it, okay, or anything like this and make this impression, pressure, make imprint on the ground, okay. So the same thing like they use this nibble, like arrows, and they shoot it. So if one of them will throw it, that means it's still light. But it's still, again, it's not before sunset. But that means they made it immediately after sunset to such a degree when you walk in the dark outside after sunset, you still can see things. It's light enough that you can see imprints of certain things on the ground. Hadith 132 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أعتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة بالعشاء حتى ذهبت عامة الليل ثم خرج فصلى وقال إنه لوقتها لولا أن أشق على أمتي. This hadith which is the collection of the Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه reported by Aisha may Allah be pleased with her, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم delayed delayed the Isha prayer one night till the great part of the night had passed. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out and offered the prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after this he said, this is the proper time for it. If it's not going to be a hardship for my followers. Okay? So this is, it shows us that the best time to perform the Isha prayer is not, this is exception. All the prayers that you do it as soon as it comes. But for the Isha prayer, the best time for it that you delay the Isha prayer. You delay the Isha prayer. Okay? And that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not keep this as a habit because he was concerned about his followers not to cause them a hardship because they need to go to their beds early and they need to get up the next day for their jobs, and some of them they get up for tahajjud and attend the Fajr prayer with the Jama'ah and the mosque. So if it's not going to be a hardship, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will keep will this relating the Isha prayer to that time. Hadith 133, page number 64, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اشتد الحر فأبردوا بالصلاة فإن شدة الحر من فيه جهنم. This hadith also is authentic and narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, when it's hot, delay the Zuhr prayer, okay, until it cools down. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that the green heat is from the feet of Jahannam. It's from the exhale of hellfire. Okay? Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us in other hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted hellfire to breathe. Okay? So the words that you see out of the cold days, okay, this is one of the inhale or exhale of paradise, hellfire, excuse me. And that the words that you see in the hot days, that this is one of the exhale of hellfire, okay. That this is only the breathing coming out. This is not hellfire itself. This what you experience in the worst days of cold or the worst days of heat in summer, this only the air that's coming out as a result of hellfire breathing. In this hadith also we see the concern of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that also as long as there is room in an Islam, the person should take the easy way. As long as you don't break a rule and you don't make a rule for yourself, Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will make a rule for you. So a person doesn't go, as example, leaving the aeroplane and say, I'm going to go make Hajj walking in my feet, so I can go through all this hardship so I can get more reward. Okay? There is a certain time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a room to get out of certain hardship while you are not breaking any of the Islamic rules, and this is one of them as example. So in hot days, for you, it is preferably for you to perform the prayer as soon as it comes. But we understand the Sahaba used to come to the masjid. They don't pray in their houses like some of us, okay? They go to the masjid for each prayer. And especially in a place like Arabia, it's very, very hot for special some of you who want experience the Hajj, you see how hot it is. So for you to walk out in a time like this, it can cause you stroke. Okay? Therefore, we have a time between Salat al-Zuhr and Asr, like 2-3 hours. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, when it's so hot like this, a break of Salah. You can delay the prayer, not to delay it until Asr comes in. But you may delay it for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, okay? So while it's still, you have another hour before Asr comes in. Okay? So you didn't break the rules, and this also gave you a break, that you don't have to hurt yourself or go to this extreme to establish the form of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes obligatory in you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that this is from the exhale of hellfire, and this is something also from the unseen. This is from the unseen, because we don't know anything about hellfire and paradise except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about it. So the hellfire have inhale and exhale, and we have to take these things in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how hellfire will inhale and exhale. Allah knows best how, but we believe in it, and Allah knows best how. The hadith number 134. This hadith, which is reported by Rafi' ibn Qudayj radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أصبحوا بالصبح فإنه أعظم لأجوركم. رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي وابن حبان. This hadith is authentic and is in collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nisa'i and Ibn Majah al-Tirmidhi وابن حبان بسند صحيح. The hadith is authentic, and hadith also teaching us about that we should offer the Fajr prayer at dawn, okay? Because this is greater for our reward, that you made the prayer early, as soon it comes, Salat al-Fajr, the morning prayer. And when we say that you make it early, make sure that you don't make it before the real Fajr comes in, okay? Because I don't know if you know this term in English or no, but in Arabic we have something called Fajr Kadhib and Fajr Sadiq. A liar dawn and a truthful dawn, or a real dawn and false dawn. Because before, after the darkness and before the real Fajr comes, will be some kind of light in the sky. People who do not live in a desert or doesn't live in the outside of city limits, they are not familiar with these things. When they see this light, they think this is the time for Fajr. Okay? So we call it a false dawn. You don't make the Fajr in this time. And the difference between the false Fajr and the true Fajr, that the light of the false Fajr will be coming like in the middle of the sky, like a long pillar, okay, coming. But the real Fajr will be across the horizon, okay? And the person performs the Fajr when he sees this second light of the day start breaking and coming out of the darkness, he sees changing in the horizon. This is the real Fajr. So from this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says that the most reward is by making the prayer of Fajr as soon as it comes. Hadith number 135, page number 64, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أدرك من الصبح ركعة قبل أن تطلع الشمس فقد أدرك الصبح، ومن أدرك ركعة من العصر قبل أن تغرب الشمس فقد أدرك العصر، متفق عليه. This hadith which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. Muhammad used to do the salah that as soon as it comes, you do it. Okay? But we understand also there is exceptions, or that is not everybody has the same kind of a schedule. And sometimes a person, by the time he arrived from his job, it's sometimes a habit, not to take it as a habit. Okay? By the time you arrive from your job and you so sweat and you want to take a shower, you don't feel comfortable to pray like this, okay? Or with the traffic jammed and all the things. So by the time you arrive, it's already 8:30. And that means almost like 7 minutes or 5 minutes before sun sets, before Maghrib. So by the time you make your wudu, this is 2 minutes gone. And now you put the prayer rug and you start to pray. And I hope nobody catch me in this mistake and say prayer rug does not mean have to be a special rug for the prayer, okay? I mean, whatever, wherever you're praying, okay? There is nothing called prayer rug, okay? You know, you can pray on the floor even. So, and after this, you get yourself ready for the prayer and you say Allahu Akbar and you read the Fatiha and Ikhlas. And you say, Allahu Akbar, go ruku'. And now you hear the adhan call for Maghrib. Okay? Sometimes it happens things like this, alright? So, alhamdulillah, from the youth and the easiness of this deen, and that Allah's mercy, that He will count and accept this from you as if you already perform it in the time. Okay? The same thing will apply to the Fajr prayer, that if a person catch one rak'at, one section of the prayer, okay, at least by going to the ruku'ah, okay, so now you already caught the prayer. In another narration of Muslim, reported by Aisha, may Allah please with her, that she said, tajda badal rak'ah, okay. In another narration it says prostration instead of ruku'ah. The ruku'ah is the bow down and the sujood is the prostration. Okay? That means that you went, that you made a whole section of the prayer. Because you know the prayer is sections, like the morning prayer is two sections, two rak'ahs. So the whole rak'ah is like from the moment you say Allahu Akbar and you go for reciting, down, raising, sujood, sitting, sujood. Now when you rise, this is one section of the prayer. Okay? So it can be meant performance of the whole total section. Or, according to the first narration, that you already catch the ruku' before sunset. Okay? Hadith number 136, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated. He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ لَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ الصُّبْحِ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسِ وَلَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ حَتَّى تَغِيبَ الشَّمْسِ متفق عليه. ولفظ مسلم لا صلاة بعد صلاة الفجر. This hadith which is the collection of الإمام البخاري and Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليهما, reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, as saying, I heard the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, no salah is to be performed after the morning prayer until the sun is rising, okay, or after the afternoon prayer until the sun sets, okay. In another narration, which is the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh, لا صلاة بعد صلاة الفجر, no prayer after صلاة الفجر, which is the morning prayer. So this hadith is telling us that after the person performs the obligatory prayer, that no salah supposed to be performed. No optional voluntarily prayer to be performed until sunset. And if you perform your morning prayer, that is no optional or nafila or voluntarily prayer to be made until sunrise. Okay? وله عن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه ثلاث ساعات كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينهانا أن نصلي فيهن أو أن نقبر فيهن موتانا حتى تطلع الشمس بازغة حتى ترتفع وحين يقوم قائم الظهيرة حتى تزول الشمس وحين تنتصف وحين حين تتضيف الشمس للغروب للحديث حديث عقبة عند كلفنا بالإمام مسلم that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he told them about three times. Okay, three hours does not mean an hour of 60 minutes. That means a section or a part of time that you are not supposed to be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us to make prayer in them or to bury our dead body. Okay? And this hour is when the sun rising, okay? And the second, when the sun is in the middle of the sky. And the third, when the sun about to set. There are three times at which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to forbid us to pray or to bury our dead. When the sun begins to rise till it's fully up. Okay? So no optional prayer, neither burial during this time. So let's say as example, the sun rises at 6:30. So, you have to wait for approximately something like 20 minutes, half an hour. And after this time, you can perform optional prayer or you can bury the dead. The second time that Rasulullah ﷺ forbade the salah, okay, and when we're talking about all the things, we're talking about what? Optional prayer. And when the sun is at the height at maybe till it passed. Okay? Till Baza, what's this? Meridian. Maybe the middle of the sky, okay? And when the sun draws near setting, till it sets. Okay? So these three times you are not supposed to make salah, optional prayer, neither you are supposed to bury the people during this time. You have to wait. So if Zuhr comes at 12:30, so 12:20, this is called time of Zahira or time of Zawal, when is the sun exactly in the middle of the sky. You have to wait until it moves from the middle of the sky and the time of Zuhr is in. Now you can make optional prayer. Now you can bury the dead like this, okay? Same thing about sun about to rise. The same thing when the sun about to rise or to set. You have to wait until the sun takes this movement and rise up for about rumhin, about this size, like the arrow, okay, the size, which it takes approximately, like I said, 20 minutes, maximum half an hour. There is another narration which is weak, and we're going to leave it alone, which is in the beginning of page number 66. And we'll go to hadith number 137, which is reported by Jubair ibn Mut'am, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا بني عبد مناف لا تمنعوا أحدا طاق بهذا البيت وصلى أي ساعة شاء من ليل أو نهار رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي وابن حبان. This hadith which reported by Jabir ibn Mut'am, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nisa'i, Ibn Hibban, and Ahmad, and Al-Hakim. Okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Bani Abd Manaf, one of the tribe, which you call Abd Manaf, that they are in charge of the Kaaba during this time, or the cleaning or arrangement for the people who come into the haram, okay, they were in charge of this affair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, O people of Abd Manaf, O descendants of Abd Manaf, you must not prevent anyone who goes around the Kaaba or pray at any hour of the night or the day he wishes, okay? And this shows us that there is exception there for the Kaaba, for the holy mosque. So this hadith came before in general. The hadith number 136 is a general. For people who live in Mecca, or people visiting the Kaaba, making Umrah, making Hajj, or living there, any time they enter, they can make tawaf, any time they can make sunnah with no problem, because this is exception, the tawaf always at all the time. Okay? So, this is exception from the ruling. So, if they pray day, night, sunrise, sunset, doesn't matter. Okay? Hadith 138, which he is explaining about Shafaq al-Ahmar, okay? So light is the redness, okay? That's what it means, Shafaq al-Ahmar. And we said that this is the time for the ending of what? Salat al-Maghrib. So Salat al-Maghrib starts from sunset until the disappearance of the redness. The red color disappear from the horizon. Hadith 139, page number 66. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفجر فجران فجر يحرم الطعام وتحل فيه الصلاة وفجر تحرم فيه الصلاة أي صلاة الصبح ويحل فيه الطعام. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Hakim ibn Khuzaymah, and also Ad-Darqutni and Sheikh al-Albani hafizahullah, he pointed this hadith to be authentic. And we explained this hadith already, which is talking about the two fajr, okay, the two dawn, that there is a false one and there is a true one, okay. And the ending or the other narration of this explains to you which one is false fajr and one is a true fajr. First it says that there is two fajr, two break light or two dawn, one which is called forbidden the food and the salah became lawful. And the other one, he made the salah lawful and the food forbidden. Like if somebody wants to take sahur as example, okay? So the first fajr you can eat, but you could not make salah al-fajr because fajr is not in. When the true fajr comes, now you could not eat, but you can make salah. This if you're planning to do the fasting. This is what it's talking about, okay? And he said, the time of dawn in which eating is forbidden, this is spread widely in the horizon, okay? This is the true fajr. You can see the light across the horizon, okay? Not like the fajr al-kadhib, the false one, will be like the tail of the fox, okay? As like a long thing. Hadith 140 reported by Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الأعمال الصلاة في أول وقتها رواه الترمذي والحاكم وصححه وأصله في الصحيحين عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. This hadith, which is a collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, al-Hakim, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah ﷺ said, the most rewarded deeds are salah in its time. Okay, the most rewarded deed after the iman, because this is the kind of deed that you do it with your limbs. The iman is something that's in the heart. Okay? Because the best deed is the iman. And there's no deed can be acceptable without iman. If you don't have faith and believe and you accept the tawheed, no action will be acceptable. So this is referring to what is the most important and most rewarded deed that you do it with your body, with your limbs. Okay? It says one of the best deeds is to offer salah in its early time, as soon as it comes. Okay? And as soon as it comes, does not mean you understand that the muazzin is calling the adhan and you start making the salah, okay? This means you don't understand go and being, understand, taking jogging for 4 miles and after this coming back and after this you taking shower and after this you take a nap and after this you separate. It's the middle course, okay? If a person, as example, eating and he heard the adhan, you finish your meal, okay? Which will be about 10, 15 minutes, half an hour. It depends how the, if it's goat meat or lamb meat. You see? Because if it's goat meat, you have to show and keep it showing and keep it showing. But if it's lamb meat, it's going to be 10 minutes and you finish, alright? So, this 20 minutes and half an hour does not mean calling delay in the prayer. Okay? And it's still calling that you're making the salah as soon as it comes. Because some Muslims, you hear a hadith like this, they get nervous. And as soon as you hear the adhan, they be even waiting with the wudu. As soon as you hear the adhan, the muazzin say, La ilaha illallah, he finished. Allahu Akbar, they start the prayer. And this is the understanding, make the salah as soon as it comes. Okay? The person who's waiting 10 and 15 minutes is still in the early and the beginning of the salah. Okay? But as I say, we don't go to the extreme like somebody, although you're making it before, you're making zuhr before asr, but different between a person, you finish his meal and the pray, and a person you went jogging 4 miles and came take a shower, take a nap, and after this, he starts to make salat al-zuhr. Hadith number 141 in page number 67, which reported by Abu Mahzura, we're going to leave this hadith alone. Because this hadith is weak. Although this hadith in the collection of Dharakutni and Baihaqi, and this is because Ya'qub ibn al-Walid, okay, because Ya'qub ibn al-Walid in this hadith, and this is the problem here, and all the roots of this hadith are weak. This hadith number 41, talking about 141, reported by Abi Mahzura, that the Prophet said, أول الوقت رضوان, that the beginning of the time is pleasure of Allah, and the middle of the time is mercy of Allah, and the end of it is forgiveness of Allah. This hadith is weak, we leave it alone. Hadith 142, page number 67. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا صلاة بعد الفجر إلا سجدتين أخرجه الخمسة إلا النساء. This is hadith number 161. We're going to leave it also alone because the hadith is weak. It's hadith which is the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. And the defect is because Imam by name Muhammad ibn Husayn. Okay? This hadith also is weak, we're going to leave it alone. وفي رواية عبد الرزاق لا صلاة بعد طلوع الفجر إلى ركعة الفجر. حديث 143 page number 68. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العصر ثم دخل بيتي فصلى ركعتين فسألته فقال شغلت عن ركعتين بعد الظهر فصليتهما الآن قلت أفنقضيهما إذا فاتتا قال لا أخرجه أحمد ولأبي داود عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها بمعنى. This hadith, which reported by Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, this hadith in the collection of Sunan Imam Ahmad in Baihaqi, and some refer to this hadith to be weak. And Sheikh Ibn Baz, hafizahullah, had referred to this hadith to be hasan. Okay? He said hadith Umm Salama is hasan. Because he had brought in another collection, which is the collection of Imam Ahmad, in his Musnad, with a good isnad. Okay? And Sheikh Shu'aib also, hafizahullah, says this hadith is sahih. Anyway, the summary of this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to one of his houses, which is the house or the dwelling place of Umm Salama, one of his wives, after he had performed already Salat al-Asr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed two rak'at. And she questioned him concerning this. We read a hadith before, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us not to pray after asr. Not to pray after fajr. Not to pray while sun is in the middle of the sky. So she was surprised how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making salah optional prayer after he already made the obligatory prayer asr. So she questioned him concerning this. he said that this is the two sunnah of Dhuhr. Okay? I was occupied, I was busy. Because he has some business to take care of. He understands that he has some representative came to meet him, or some delegation, and he was busy that he didn't have the chance to perform the sunnah after Dhuhr. So now when he went to his house, he remembered, he got up and he made it. So this is the point here that I want to get your attention to it. I asked him, that means Umm Salama, should we offer them if we met them? Replied Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no. So this was something specially for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if the, that when he met his sunnah, he can make it up. But for us, if a person makes his sunnah and he did not go make it up, especially if this sunnah after what? After Asr. And by this we finish this chapter concerning the time for prayer. And I don't think will be enough time to go to the second chapter, which is the chapter concerning the call for the prayer, or the chapter of Adhan. So we leave it for next week inshallah. But since we have about 10 minutes, if anybody has correction or question or anything, if applies to the class or doesn't matter inshallah. But first, let's see if anybody have any question concerning today's class. Yes. Okay. The question here concerning a person wants to perform the Isha prayer, and the Isha is not in yet because he's tired, and he'll be scared if he sleeps, he doesn't wake up until the next day, and he barely can keep his eyes open. Sometimes it happens to us, especially like somebody coming from overseas trip, okay, and after flying for 14 hours and going from airport to airport and all the things. Or sometimes that people, like these people, may Allah forgive them and get them out of this mess, some people in the army, sometimes they make them, you understand, you know, do extra, what you call this, training and things like this, especially in the first couple of months. They try so-called get them in shape, their body, not their heart, okay? So by the time he goes back to his cabinet or his tent, he could not even see anything in front of him, all right? So if a person have a case like this, we say, yes, inshallah, you can do so as long as you don't take it as a habit. As long as you don't take it as a habit. And this hadith, Ibn Abbas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had performed 8 and 7 without being traveling or without being sick or without being... okay? That means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had combined Dhuhr and Asr together. This is the 8. And the 7, that means the Maghrib and Isha. And with no raining, with no traveling. Not was excused because it's raining, neither was a traveling, because in the traveling you combine the prayer. And when it's raining, also the sunnah, you combine the prayer. So the Sahaba asked Ibn Abbas, he said, أَرَادَ أَلَّا يُحْرِجَ أُمَّتَهُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this not to be haraj in his ummah. Anybody can help me to translate the word haraj? I forgot it now, this moment. Not difficulty. But anyway, the Prophet ﷺ did this once in his lifetime, only as exception. And if we have any students here from the Arabic class, we can give the lexicon that starts with the word. Do you know the lexicon? Okay. Do you know in the back of each one there is a letter? Okay, get the one that has the letter H. Alright? So, in a case like, we give example, person who's traveling coming from overseas and he just arrived, and if he not lay down, if he sits in the chair, he will snore and he will wake even the neighbor. So with this person, I say to him, okay, you made Maghrib, go ahead and make Isha, inshallah, acceptable. Don't take it as a habit. Yes. Excuse me? Okay, do you mind to wait because somebody else raised his finger before you? Or we'll make it as exception for... Okay, 1 second for both of you, if you don't mind, to give you the word exactly, haraj. Ra. Inshallah. Haraj, number of things becomes collective of noises. Again, it's all okay. Haraj. Okay, Haraj. Can simply be committed a sin, a crime, or an act of decency for which, okay, sin. Haraj. Haraj, the Haraj. I'm still using the same word I would try to avoid it here. He made himself, he takes himself to a narrow or confined place. And keep going, he's constrained him to, he takes himself or have the cover to himself. Okay. Made it strange or difficult to himself. He got away or cast away. Into haraj. Okay. Haraj. Thing. His way or difficulty. No? I think this is the best thing we can say. Haraj, difficulty. Okay? The hardship, but it's not a necessity. Okay? That means you can make it. You can make it, but you will make it with difficulty. Okay? And this is different from necessity. Okay? Okay, Mujahid. Okay. The brother asking about the 2 rak'at sunnah before the morning prayer. If you miss it, as example, that you enter the mosque and you find the imam already leading the salat. So you engage with the imam, and after the imam finished, can you make the 2 rak'at? Yes, you can make 2 rak'at. Okay? You can make the 2 rak'at because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to pray when sun rising until it comes clear in the sky. The time after the imam finishing his salah, let's say Fajr at 5 o'clock, and now it's 6 o'clock, you got up, sunrise at 6:30, is enough time for you to make the fard and the sunnah. or that you went to the masjid 5:30 and you found them already starting the Fajr prayer. You engage with them in the obligatory. 4:36, you got up to make the surah at sunnah. Yes, it's permissible, you can do so. Brother Shamsuddin from New York City. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. This has nothing to do with the shortening of the prayer. The question now concerning the brother who is tired, and if he sleeps, he's not going to get up until the next day. Can he make Maghrib and Isha? We said yes to him, as long as you don't take it as a habit every day. So now Brother Shamsuddin saying, okay, now he's going to combine the prayer. Is he going to shorten the Isha? No, he could not shorten the Isha. He make it four. Because as long as you're home, you never shorten the prayer. Same case, like, combine the prayer because raining. Okay? So, you make the Zuhr 4 rak'at, and you make the Asr 4 rak'at in the time of Zuhr, but you still don't shorten, you only combine. Any question? Any correction? Yes? The question of the brother here that some masjids in making the Isha prayer at 10, while Isha prayer comes at 10:30. Is there a basis for this? There's no basis for this in my knowledge, except if these people, they go by the light in the sky, okay? And I don't advise any one of us to go by the light in the sky, because we are not expertise in this. Sometimes you see, understand, like Persian light, you may think this is Isha, or this is the dawn, or whatever it is. We did not have this expertise to know what is Persian light, and what is Fajr light, and all these things. This is the reason we go by this watch nowadays. But if the Imam, or the people of this town, they are expertise in this, and they know that Isha prayer comes at 10, not according to the calendar. 10:30, they can. But if not, they could not make it before. Yeah. As I said, I don't know anything to make the time. The way how we know about time for prayer is not time. It is according the light in the sky. When the reddish color, okay, when the sunset disappears from the horizon, this is the time for Maghrib. And now the reddish color is going to be in the sky. When this reddish color disappears, this is the time for Isha. It can be a different from city to city. In some city or in some country can be an hour and a half. Some can be 2 hours. It depends. You understand, it's winter, it's summer, you're in the East Coast, South, all these things. It's different. Is this correct or no? Okay? I'm talking in a regular time, okay, in regular days. Maybe today is cloudy, but you already know already yesterday or last week how it was. We are not talking about 2 and 3 minutes. But you know about this season, you understand that the day is shorter and the night is longer and things like this. So you already got the idea how long usually it takes for this reddish color to disappear. So it doesn't matter if tonight is cloudy, but you already have the idea. It takes that amount of time. But the bottom line is still that it's preferably that you always delay the Isha prayer. And one thing that I forgot to mention, delaying the Isha prayer does not mean the ending of the Isha prayer is the middle of the night, half of the night. Some people, they think that the Isha extends until Fajr. Isha does not extend it to Fajr. The Isha, although this is some of the opinions of the scholars, okay? But the most authentic and reliable that the Isha ending by the middle of the night. As example, let's say the sun sets here in Colombia like 8, or about, let's say 8, so we can count easy. And the sun rises, or the Fajr comes at 5, okay? So from 8 to 5, how many hours? 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5. 9 hours between sunset and Fajr. So half of this is 4 hours and a half. So now let's say from 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. So 12:30, 1 o'clock maximum, this is the ending of Salat al-Isha. Okay? This is the ending for Salat al-Isha. So when we say that the sunnah to delay Salat al-Isha, not to go and pray at 1 o'clock. Okay? So approximately we say that Isha comes at 10. Alright? Here in Columbia, South Carolina, comes at 10. So will be the preferably not to make it at 10 o'clock or 10:30, that you go like 11:30. Okay? The letting the Isha until 11:30, preferably. This is the sunnah. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Okay, any question, any thing? Alright, inshallah, for today will be exception that after Maghrib we don't have anybody have any meetings and discussion, any family affairs, community affairs need to be discussed after Maghrib? Nobody? Any concern? Anybody have anything concerned to discuss after Maghrib? Alright? So we conclude here our class, and inshallah this will be the end for tonight. Hopefully that with next class inshallah. Okay, traveling and salah. Okay. Now the person who is traveling and go out of town for 3 weeks, say that we left to Colombia and went to the Rotten Apple, New York. Okay? And now you're going to be there for 3 weeks. If you already knew that you're going to be there for 3 weeks, now you're going to complete your prayer. But if you go to the Rotten Apple and you don't know when you're coming there, all what you need, you're waiting for a shipment, a delivery. Okay? When this delivery comes, you're going to put it in your car and drive back again. They maybe come tomorrow, and you go tomorrow, and they said, oh, we're sorry, we have a mechanical problem, and the airline didn't show up, maybe tomorrow. You go tomorrow, say, oh, with the weather. Or you go tomorrow, and keep going. So actually, you went to pick up a shipment, and you're waiting on your shipment. Now it's taken a week, so 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, you're still short in your prayer until your shipment comes. The moment you get your shipment, you put it in the car, you're ready to leave, you consider a traveler. But you to go to another town and you already know how long he's staying and what time he's leaving, and you already reserve your seat in the airline, and you know that you're going to be there for 3 weeks, you are not traveler. You complete your prayer, and this is to the best of my understanding, and Allah knows it. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. يس. when? I'm not coming. I'm supposed to be in Canada. I'm not supposed to be in Texas. I doubt I'm going to be here. I told them, I gave them the lecture over the phone, but I'm already scheduled for Canada. Inshallah. All right. Come on.
محمد رسول الله.